during my 45 years broadcasting on WFMT, all sorts of writers have been on the program, and memoirs, a good number of memoirs have been recounted. And I can't think of any more moving than the one I read a number of years ago, and she's my guest again, the author of Hideko Tamura Snyder. It's called, a little book called One Sunny Day, A Child's Memories of Hiroshima. And a small press, Open Court, has published it. And not too many people have read the book or heard of it, and it's quite few. I thought, since she lives in town and does all sorts of work in town as a therapist and helping all sorts of people in trouble, Hideko Tamura Snyder, my guest, will do it again. This program and this book. And I thought we should open with a voice that you heard on that day a great many times, I'm certain. Not your voice, but someone, a young girl in the town of your town, Hiroshima.
They were looking up at, in the sky, trying to spot the airplane.
But then
she thought that there was a very big flash in the sky, so she hit her face on the ground.
そうすると、その瞬間に飛ばされたような気がします。
で、she remembers that she must have been blown away, by the impact.
そして意識が回復した時には、あたりにいた友達がほとんど影を姿が見えませんでした。
And when she regained her consciousness, she couldn't find most of her friends. So they were either blown to bits or burnt or.
そして私の全身を見ますとパンティ一枚残っていて、そして今ケロイドとして残っていたところは皮膚が50センチぐらい下がっておりました。
She says that all her clothes were torn away except the very undergarment. And her skin, where she has all her, burns, the skin was just peeled off and hanging from her body. And she has that on her arms and legs and on her face.
そしてもう全身が熱かったので、近くの川へ飛び込みました。
And she said it was so such an intense heat that she jumped into the nearby river, the small river that was running through the city.
すると友達が顔だけ海水から顔だけ出して、お母さん助けてくれ、お母さん助けてくれと言って泣き叫んでおりました。
She said that her friends were in the river. I don't think I can say it.
Was it the afternoon of August 6, 1945, or was it evening that I heard of it? A single bomb that would incinerate more people than 100 of the usual such killers. It worked. The scientists at Alamogordo, our most brilliant, came through. As Philip Morrison remembers, he was a nuclear physicist at the time working in the desert. What can we do to end this war? The Army said, we'll give you the wonderful opportunity to make the world's greatest explosion, and all you have to forget is going to make a bomb that will kill very many people, a Faustian bargain. And the light of 1,000 suns bewitched Hiroshima. What happened 3 days later, a like one, wholly gratuitous it appears, was dropped over Nagasaki. I guess it was to prove that the first was not simply a matter of luck, a chancy success. It was the news from Hiroshima, though, that caused the astonishment, and in most instances on these shores, elation. There were some few who were distraught, the Quakers, of course, among them. I'm ashamed to say I was not one of these few. It was later. What Wilfred Owen called chance's strange arithmetic was at work. I was a 33-year-old radio commentator in Chicago, Hideko Tamura was a little schoolgirl in Hiroshima. As she recalls in her achingly moving memoir a half century later, a typical summer day was about to begin with a gentle breeze on my face and bare back, and I wore just my underpants. I was very relaxed when the air raid warning siren went off around 7:15 a.m. A casual warning was being issued. Three enemy planes were en route. Only three? I shrugged. It was hardly worth being warned about. Hundreds, maybe, but three. A little later, around 7:30 a.m., the simple announcement came that the planes had turned around. The warning was off. I heard Aunt Fumiko say, "Hideko, it's so nice out." Then came the blinding flash and the white light. And the rest, as they say, is history. Unfortunately, history does not recount a small girl's search for her elegant young mother, who loved Tolstoy and Wordsworth, buried somewhere in the rubble, and crying out that soft song her mother used to sing. Nor does it tell us of a teenaged American POW standing numb and naked in the deracinated village square, about to be stoned by grief-maddened, wounded old men and women, and saved by her father, an army officer. Talk about chance of strange arithmetic. There have been scores of such remembrances recorded, but few that so touch and sear the soul as much as this childhood memory of one sunny day. And that was the foreword I wrote to your book, Hideko.
Yes.
And as you heard that voice of that, it was familiar, not unknown to you.
Right. Even the inflection is very sound of Hiroshima.
Yeah.
As she spoke in Hiroshima dialect. And I just wanted to add the very last phrase the survivor spoke of and was not interpreted because the interpreter just broke down.
Yeah.
And I believe that it should be heard. The sound was a call saying, "Help me, mother. Help me, mother." It was calling to practically higher power, Mother Nature, please help me out of this.
As you say that, I naturally think of your book and your introduction. You were originally Tokyo Hiroshima. Help me, mother. Your mother.
Yes.
Your mother.
Right.
Elegant, beautiful, up on Western literature and song and
yes.
all.
Yes.
People would turn when she walked.
Right.
To help me, mother, is something. You were saying, where are you?
Right.
Well, I suppose you go back to the beginning. I read a little passage there that I lifted from your very opening about the day. Why don't you read that opening passage and then we start?
All right. Every year, when the days begin to stretch and the penetrating heat of summer rises to a scorching point, I am brought back to one sunny day in a faraway land. I was a young child waiting for my mother to come home. On that day, however, the sun and the earth melted together. My mother would not come home. On that day, she became a statistic along with many of my relatives, neighbors, and my very best friend.
And that your best friend, Miyoshi.
Right.
Somehow she disappeared.
Yes, she